This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi tawakkal alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أما بعد، ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Last week we discussed some of the principles from the book Adab al-Dunya wa-Din by Imam Al-Mawardi rahimahullah. And I want to continue the discussion today. Last week we looked at the first four chapters of this book, in which Imam Al-Mawardi, who lived 1,000 years ago in the golden age of the Abbasid Empire, he highlights that for success in this world and in the next world, we need a strong mind, we need control over our desires, we need to seek out beneficial knowledge, and we need to prioritize the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I want to focus on the fourth chapter of this book. The fourth chapter of his book is called Adab al-Dunya, the ethics of worldly life. And in this chapter, which is actually the longest chapter in this book, Imam Al-Mawardi highlights what is success, what is worldly success, and what are the principles you need to achieve worldly success. It's quite interesting. He wrote this book 1,000 years ago, and the principles he mentioned may be more applicable today than even back then. We are in need of these principles today, even more than when he wrote them. Now what's interesting here is that, you know, Imam Al-Mawardi in this chapter, he discusses two levels of success. The success of the community or the society as a whole, and for that he lists out six principles. And the success of the individual, and for this he lists out three or four principles as well. He begins his chapter by saying that human beings are social creatures. You cannot make it in this world on your own. You cannot thrive in this world on your own. We need each other. And he then said that Allah created different people with different skills and different ideas and different areas that they specialize in. And this is meant to balance out the earth. One person will be a doctor, one person will be a scholar, one person will be, you know, a warrior. Each person has their own inclinations. And he said, you should have husnul dhan billah. You should have good thoughts about Allah, that Allah created you for this specific purpose. He may have given somebody else more intellect than you, or more physical strength than you, or better mathematical skills than you, because they need that and you don't. So you need to have good thoughts that the skills Allah gave you are what you need for success. So he lays the framework here in the opening chapters that we are a community. We are a society. We need each other. We all have different strengths, we all have different skills, and we all have social needs. We are not meant to live in isolation, we're not meant to be by ourselves. And immediately you see a clash here between what Al-Mawardi teaches us 1,000 years ago and what modernity teaches us. Because modernity is built around hyper-individualism. It's all about me, it's all about myself, don't care what anybody else thinks, cut out my family, cut out of society, I do what I want. People think that's the path to happiness, they think that's the path to success. But here we thought that no, society, we're meant to be together, we're meant to support each other, we're meant to build society together, be there for each other. So he says for a community, for a society to be successful, he says there are six principles. There are six things any community or civilization needs to be considered a successful civilization according to his understanding of Islam. What are these six things? Number one, of course, is Islam. Allah revealed Islam to solve the problems of society. A civilization that is built upon Islam will have built into it all of the necessary tools to fix the problems of society. And so he says a civilization that will thrive, a civilization that will do well, must be built on the Sharia. That must be its foundation. And what supports the Sharia? What makes sure that the Sharia is the foundation of civilization? That's point number two, a strong Khalifa, a strong Sultan. Al-Mawardi, he speaks a lot about the Khilafat and the Sultanate and the importance of strong leadership In fact, Adab al-Dunya wa Deen is not even anywhere near his most famous work. His most famous work is Al-Ahkam al-Sultaniyah, the laws of leadership. How to be a king, how to be a khalifa. That's his specialty. He specialized back in the Abbasid era on advising the khalifas on how to be the best khalifa, advising the kings on how to be the best king. And so he says that you need a strong leader to ensure the Sharia is the law of the land. If you don't have strong leadership who can ensure that the Sharia is the law of the land, then other kind of laws will take over, and any law besides the law of Allah is going to have flaws and it's going to lead to problems. The other four principles he mentioned are very interesting, right? He says there are four things. If you have a civilization built upon the Sharia with a Khilafat, there are four things it needs to be successful in terms of four worldly things it needs to be successful. What are these four things? Justice, safety, a good economy, and a culture of hope. Very interesting, right? He says, for a civilization to be successful, you don't just need the Sharia and a Khilafat. It needs to be just. He said, if a society is just, that solves half of societal problems. Justice fixes most of our problems in the community. With that, what fixes the other half of the problems? Safety. You're not scared of getting robbed. You're not scared of getting stabbed and shot and murdered. Safety is necessary for success. So you need to have mechanisms in place to make sure people are safe. And then interestingly, he mentions the importance of the economy. He says that you need a strong economy. People need to be able to access jobs, to provide for their families, to be able to live a good quality life. You know, this is something that every society needs to be successful. And then finally, he says the last quality that a society needs to be successful is a culture of hope, a culture of optimism. People need to look forward to the future. People need to know that the future is bright. People need to know that, you know, things are going to get better. Sadly, when I look at modern society, it's as if none of these are there. Look at the six things he mentioned. Society built upon Islam, not there. A Khilafat, 100 years now, no Khilafat. Justice, how many places in the world do they have justice? We live in a very unjust era, right? Safety, we live in South Africa, we know what level of safety we have in South Africa, right? We know the level of crime and violence in this community. Linked to that, a strong economy where people can easily get jobs and provide for their families and the cost of living is decent, doesn't exist today. Majority of the world is dealing with a cost of living crisis, economical crisis. And then he says a culture of hope and optimism. This current generation is dealing with a culture of doom and gloom. They don't have hope for the future. They feel like the whole world has just been darkness for the past 5 years and they feel it's going to keep getting worse. It's really sad that when you look at the six elements of a successful society, according to Imam Al-Mawardi rahimahullah, none of them can be found in most of modern society. And then we wonder why the world is the way it is. You know, people today, they prop up modern society as the standard. That, oh, look at those backward civilizations, they need to be more like us. But hold on, those backward civilizations had justice. Those backward civilizations had peace and safety. Those backward civilizations had a decent cost of living and a strong economy, and people were hopeful and people had a good culture and good families and strong family ties. Why should they give that up to be like you? Modern society is built upon depression and loneliness and high suicide rates and doom and gloom and debt that is out of control and interest rates that are out of control. How is that better than what came before? We shouldn't buy into this narrative that the modern world is better than what came before. If you really think that, go back and study what life was like under the Abbasid or the Ottoman empires. You would be amazed at how much goodness they had in this world that we don't have today because of the modern standards that we have adopted. So that's on a societal level. And yes, there's not much we, the average person, can do to fix society. In South Africa, we can't really think about establishing a Khilafat or things like that, but we can find ways to strengthen the economy, we can find ways to rebuild a culture of hope, we can find ways to bring some safety and justice to our communities. What we can focus on is individual success, right? And that is the second half of this chapter. So Imam Al-Mawardi then says that if you have a successful society, it is easier for the individual to live a good life. But what is a good life? What is success? Modern society defines success in terms of wealth and fame. Al-Mawardi takes us in a very different direction. He says, wealth is Qadarullah. Allah decides who gets rich and who does not. Furthermore, excessive seeking of wealth leads to greed, and greed leads to problems. For some people, wealth is a blessing. For other people, wealth is a source of temptation. So wealth is not the measure of success. So then he mentions, what is success on the individual level? He says three things. Three things are success on the individual level. Number one is what he mentioned in the first chapter, which we spoke about last week. Nurturing your mind and controlling your desires. Nurturing your mind and controlling your desires. Are you controlled by your brain or by your desires? If you are controlled by your mind and not your desires, then you can find success in this world. If you are someone who just chases after every desire, you will ruin this world and the afterlife. So number one is controlling your desires and nurturing your intellect. Number two, he says, having good character and good relationships. Good character and good relationships. And the bulk of this chapter, he focuses on what is a good relationship and what are the types of relationships you should have. And we'll come to that in a bit. And then number three, interestingly, he says, number three, for success in this world, you need enough wealth to be independent. You need enough wealth that you're not reliant on others. And then he addresses, he says, some of you may think this is a contradiction to what I say earlier in the book. He says, there's no contradiction here. In Islam, you're obligated to seek a living. You're obligated to earn enough that you can be independent, that you are not, you know, at the mercy of others. But you shouldn't be greedy. So he calls on us for balance. Don't abandon the dunya, but don't be greedy for the dunya. Seek enough that you're not reliant on others. That nobody can bully you. Nobody can force you, you know, to do things or to say things or to believe things, because you have enough to sustain yourself and your family. So he mentions the importance of a moderate level of wealth. A level of wealth that creates a level of independence, not in so much that it becomes a source of temptation for you. But the main thing he focused on in this chapter for worldly success, and this is what is missing today in our societies, good, strong relationships. We have become very atomized and individualized. Our lives have become all about ourselves. And he says to live a truly happy life, you need strong relationships. Again, what's the first thing he mentions in this chapter? Humans are social creatures. We need each other. And so to be successful, you need good relationships. And he mentions four types of relationships. Four types of relationships that if they are strong, you will have a happy life. What are these four relationships? Number one, your connection to the deen. Who is your sheikh? Who is your spiritual guide? Who is your Islamic teacher? This is very important that you have someone that connects you to Allah. Someone who teaches you the religion. Someone who, if you are experiencing any, you know, questions or any doubts, or you need to learn something, you have someone to connect you to the answers. So that's the first type of relationship. And historically, every Muslim community was built around a scholar. Every Muslim society had their Sheikh al-Islam, they had their head scholar, who everybody would consult, and he would be the main person in that community with more soft power than the actual king or governor, because he's the one who shapes the minds and the hearts of the people. Historically, scholars played a very important role in society. The second type of relationship that Al-Mawardi says is necessary for success and a happy life is strong family ties. You must have strong family ties. He talks about the husband and wife relationship. He talks about relationship with your parents, with your siblings, with your children, with your extended family. And he talks again about families as tribes. This is very interesting. A few weeks ago, I spoke about Mustafa Sabri, right? Who 100 years ago wrote about the importance of families and how families should function as tribes and protect each other. Al-Mawardi says the same thing 1,000 years ago. Right? And he gives a good example. He said, in Medina, anybody who didn't have a family or a tribe, what did Rasulullah ﷺ do for that person? He attached him to some family or tribe. He made them part of somebody's family. Right? And whether it was through the Muhajirun and Ansar system or through the Mawla system, he made sure they had a tribe. Because your tribe has your back, your tribe has your protection. Today, we don't have this. Today, everyone's on their own. Today, everybody just takes care of themselves and only cares about themselves. Right? This is something that's happened over the past 100 years. Our families went from tribes to smaller and smaller and smaller, and now we just have people living on their own. And this makes you vulnerable. This makes you weak. This makes you easy to exploit or to kill off or to imprison or to do anything to, because you don't have the support of a strong family. Interestingly, the third thing he mentions, right? Strong family ties is number two. What do you think is number three? Strong and good relationship with your in-laws. Marrying into a good family. Right? He says this doubles up the power. If you are from a good family and you marry into a good family, these two families now become one big and powerful family. He says this is a way of ensuring that people have each other's backs in society. That you marry into a good family and that you have a strong family ties with your in-laws. And then number four, he says to have success in this world, to have a happy life in this world, you need strong, loving friendships. Good quality friends. Surround yourself with good quality friends. And he says, like, if you look at this list he gives us, happiness in this world is actually not that difficult. Right? We're just looking for it in the wrong places. If you follow the principles laid out by Al-Mawardi, if you prioritize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you take care of your mind, if you control your nafs, you seek knowledge, you earn enough to be independent, you have strong family ties, you have a connection to the religion, you have peace and justice, you have good relationships, you should be happy. That is enough to live a happy life. That is enough to live a good life. And so what this book teaches us is how to live a good life. That living a good life and a happy life, it's not about being a millionaire. It's not about being famous. It's not about being all powerful. It's about strong relationships. It's about who you are as a person. And it's about your relationship with God. And so this should reframe the way we think about success, so we can prioritize what is important and not fall into the traps of modernity. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillahi wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiya ba'da amma ba'da. We take these principles, they were listed 1,000 years ago. They're extremely, extremely relevant to our times. We live in a time where people are lonely, people are depressed, people are suicidal, families are diminishing, people don't really have real friendships in many parts of it. People feel they can't trust anybody. Security is low, justice is low, safety is low, economies are in trouble. And in Islam, we have solutions for all these things. That's the beauty and the timelessness of Islam. The revelation that came down 1,400 years ago is just as relevant today as it was 1,400 years ago. And all of these problems of modern society, you will find solutions in these early works. We live in a time of capitalism. This whole modern culture and worldview stems from capitalism. And capitalism has shaped for many of us our definitions of success. That success today is measured by how hard you work, how much money you earn, how much you consume, how much you pile up, how extravagant your life is, how famous you are, what's your job title. This is what people consider success today. In Islam, none of that is a criteria for success. Money and jobs are a means. They are a means towards halal income. They're not the criteria for success. You can have a successful life even with a moderate means of income, as long as it is halal and there's barakah in it. We need to move away from secular definitions of success and from the secular worldview. And for that, I just want to mention something for us to think about. We really need to rethink our education system. From the ground up, the entire education system we have today, it was popularized 100 years ago. By who? Who made this the global education system? Did you ever think about that? Right? We're so caught up in this world. If we ever think about who laid the foundation for this world that we're living in? The education system we have today is only 100 years old as a global system. 200 years old as a German system. Started in Germany, right? 100 years ago, the Rockefellers popularized this system and made it global to train good workers for capitalism. This system was designed to fuel capitalism. You go through 13 years minimum of schooling, being trained to be a good worker for the capitalists. You know, your whole education is just about listening, doing your job, earning your salary, not asking any questions. This is very different from the Islamic education system that existed pre-modernity, right? The Islamic education system that existed during the golden ages of Islam, what was its focus? Primarily, the focus was on the purification of the soul and shaping your manners and your character. And then whatever skills you needed to earn a living were built upon that. This is why they had the saying, learn from their manners before their knowledge, because that was the foundation. And Islamic education means in the younger years, in the early years, you focus on shaping someone's akhlaq and adab and the relationship with Allah and the importance of family ties and all of this. And then upon that, you build worldly skills. Upon that, you build the skills to earn an income. The modern education system is only about the income part. And so we wonder why someone comes out of that system and they don't care about family, they don't care about society. All they care about is my career, my career, my career, my money, my money, my money. It's all about me, it's all about money. Why? Because you are going through a system that is designed to produce just that. You see, one of the problems that we have is we just take the systems that are there and we try to Islamize them. And by Islamizing them, we maybe just gave them an Arabic name, you know, made hijab the school uniform and made Islamic studies a subject, right? That's not Islamization. We have to rethink education at its roots. And I'm saying this because a lot of the problems we have today with young Muslims come simply from the fact that we are not educating them the Islamic way. We are simply copying other people's systems and adding a little bit of Islam to it. We need to rethink this. And if you can't change the system, at least start at home. At least with your own children and your own grandchildren, in your parenting methods, teach them the correct worldview. Teach them to see through these things. Teach them to see through secularism and to see through liberalism and to see through capitalism and to see the world from an Islamic perspective and teach them adab and teach them akhlaq and teach them these skills and teach them the correct understanding of success. Because yes, maybe you can't change the system you are living in, but you still have control in your family on what you teach your children. And this is why parents should not take a back seat when it comes to education. You are the first teacher, and what you teach your children is going to be the foundation upon which everything else is built. So I spoke a little bit about the education system there because it is directly a root cause of the way people are thinking today. But going back to our primary topic, the world today has a lot of problems. And one of the big problems is people are feeling hopeless. People feel like there's no path to happiness. Everything is just bad. This is actually a good opportunity for us to do dawah. Because Islam solves all of these problems. It solved it a long time ago. We just need to figure out how to apply and embody these principles of Islam in the modern world and then showcase it to others. Show others, here's the solution. You lonely, look at the Islamic family system. You feel hopeless, look at the Islamic system of optimism. You feel like that, you know, there's no solution to the world problems, look at the solutions Islam proposes. But we need to start thinking like this. We need to start looking into our tradition and pulling out solutions and applying them in the modern world. And this means having some very difficult conversations. This means really looking at the roots of our society and fixing things from the very foundational level. This means really going into details, into trying to figure out what went wrong with our society. And not fixing the small things at the top, fixing the foundations. So I highly recommend that we all take time to reflect on these principles, reflect on the definition of success as per the early Muslims. Are we working towards it in our own lives? Are we raising a generation that work towards it? Are we making a difference in this world? Are we truly living a good life? In Islam, a successful life is not about being rich and famous. It's about living a goodly life. living a life that is pleasing to Allah, beneficial to society, a life where when you leave this world, people will miss you. People will miss you. That means you lived a good life. Doesn't matter how famous you were, doesn't matter how rich you were, but if you leave this world in a state where the righteous miss you and they make dua for you, you had a successful life. And we ask Allah to bless us with the best of this world and the afterlife. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة